Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, welcome to another Fans Culture Fans Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. You know, folks, as I went through and looked at a number of things that happened in the news this week and things that caught my attention, and you know, even some of the things I didn't get a chance to address last week, you know, I think about you know, just simple things that I recall coming across an article or something on how the coach at University of North Carolina men's basketball team has got a contract extension. And getting that contract extension, you know, so that means they signed him on for a few more years, and he's continuing to draw that big, happy, fat salary. And getting that contract extension, they still have a number of NCAA violations looming over his head. And it's just puzzling to me where if we were in a normal, well, I can't even say normal because, you know, what do we really classify as being normal? But as they, as society likes to portray our judicial system, I know we often talk about innocent until proven guilty. I know, you know, we talk about the Court of Appeals and due process and all these other kind of things. I'm well aware of all of that, and that is not where I'm leaning towards. But I'm just simply looking at and thinking about, okay, here we are. We have a situation where an individual has a number of potential NCAA violations hanging over his head. And the school just lets you know, hey, we're going to support him regardless. If everything comes back and is leaning in his corner, leaning on his shoulders, we just renewed his contract in your face to say, and so what you going to do about it? You know, I can see where you may have had a contract that may have held off for a little short period of time, or you may have had a contract that gave a couple options in there based upon a situation where, you know, who knows, a situation where, you know, in the event that some of these things come back, some of these allegations are substantiated, and, you know, some of this stuff leads back to him, then we have the option of releasing him. You know, something like that. That would be an interesting thing for me to see or read or whatever. But I guess the school thought as though, hey, we're not going to worry about it. We know for sure that this individual is cleared, and we're going to move forward with extending his contract. So be it. But from our perspective, we as parents of these young men and women are going to these institutions and, you know, doing a whole lot of wonderful things in these institutions. I wonder, you know, what should be our thoughts, you know, on that issue? You know, what should be our thoughts on that issue? Should we even look at that school and think, okay, if they're just going to totally dismiss or just totally ignore that issue, then is that the right school for my child to be at? I know the school holds some prestige and, you know, has a winning history, winning series of nice runs to the NCAA tournament, the whole works and everything else, and, you know, been pumped up over the years. But, folks, a foul is a foul. You know, wrong play and foul play is foul play. You know, I'm just interested and just curious to know what are some of your thoughts on that issue. But that's not something we're going to discuss this evening. I'm going to put one of our little promos on, talking a little bit about NAIA, and go check and see if our guest is out there, and I'll be right back with you.
Athletic Showcase is a new event for us. We're launching it in Peoria, Illinois in June, I believe June 21st and 22nd. It's an opportunity for high school student athletes to come in and basically show their athletic ability to NAIA coaches. We'll have head coaches in the sports of football, men's and women's soccer, baseball, and softball. And so a student athlete can show up, be able to run through some tests, through some drills in some sports, actually be able to play. And those coaches will be there and decide whether they want to award an athletic scholarship or recruit that student athlete into the future.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Sorry about the delay there, but I'm looking at my switchboard here. My switchboard don't seem to be functioning properly, or it may be an operator error that we're experiencing this evening. But folks, you know, all week long I've been talking about it, I've been tweeting about it, I've been sending it out on social media.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, seems like my switchboard is doing its own thing right now. Let's see if it's going to play it twice or just going to play it once. Okay, well, anyway, like I was saying, I was sending the information out on social media and things like that, that we were going to have a guest this weekend. And, you know, I met this gentleman some time ago, and I actually met him.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, either I got some ghosts within my switchboard here or some strange engineering malfunction going on right now. Hopefully we're through with that. And I know it may be one more time that it may play, but I'm going to try to continue on and get our guest on the line, because I know many of you have been waiting to hear from our guest as I tried to pump him up this weekend. But like I was saying, met this gentleman some time ago, and, you know, from the time that I met him, I realized that, you know, he brought a lot of value to the table. You know, he wasn't this overly aggressive, arrogant type cat that, you know, folks would be kind of standoffish. You know, he was a very humble guy, very respective guy, very the type of guy that you would like to see many of our young athletes emulate his style and his character. Talking about Junior Browse, former UVA standout. You know, Junior has a nice history behind himself and definitely has done some things throughout years that he's been out there playing. But I'm going to bring him on. See if he's out there ready to join in on the conversation. Let him tell us a little bit about himself, and then we're going to move into having a wonderful and great show this evening. Junior, are you on there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am on there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great, doing just great. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Well, like I said, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I could have went on and talked about you for the next few more minutes or so, but I just want you to give our listening audience just a little quick update on who you are, what you've been doing.
Well, obviously, like you said, Junior Burr, I went to the University of Virginia. I played in the pros almost 17 years between the NBA and overseas, and Now I am a TV analyst for Comcast, ABC, and the CBS affiliates in the D.C. area for NBA, college basketball, and radio talk stuff in that area. And I'm just coming back now because I've been able to get myself affiliated with the Nike Elite Top 100 camps and Nike Summer Works and stuff, and I've been doing that for the last couple of days, and I'm actually just flying in back from St. Louis from the Top Elite 100 camp, which is awesome, by the way. And Nike puts that on, and it does a good job of getting our young athletes to kind of pigeonhole or piggyback on what you were talking about, actually, as I was listening to the show before you got me on, and how they need to respond to these schools and these allegations and et cetera. So, you know, this is right up my alley. So I appreciate you having me on for the stuff that we're talking about. And we had some learning scenarios and learning situations up there in the camp where we sat down with the kids and were able to talk about this kind of stuff. But I know that's not why you brought me on and we talked basketball and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was kind of right up your alley of stuff, apparently, teaching parents.
Well, hey, I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. And like you said, you're just now getting back in. And sounds like the weather got the best of you because you don't sound like your normal self. But hopefully you're holding there long enough to keep it going.
They're yelling at those kids, yelling, having fun with the camps and the practices and the stuff. So I kind of lost my voice. And it's kind of coming back, so I apologize if I don't sound. You can't really hear
me. Hey, ain't no problem. Ain't no problem. We appreciate you just taking the time to join us on the air today. You know, and it's interesting that you talk about the program that you was at, but you also started out talking about that you played at the University of Virginia. And during your time playing at the University of Virginia, what are some of the things that, you know, that a young athlete looks forward to? I know everybody jumps in there and says, hey, I want to go pro and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Your transition from going, if you recall back those days, your transition going from high school into the college ranks. You know, give me a couple little tips that, and even some of the young men that you've seen this weekend, give me a couple little tips that you may want to share with our listening audience, and you probably share with some of the young folks that you dealt with over the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, first things first, I was fortunate because I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was able to run across one of the, you know, the greatest coaches in the history of North Carolina basketball in Charles McCullough. So he was my first high school coach. And I was able to get that understanding because he had a bunch of players that already have gone through this process of being recruited. So he had an understanding, and he was a Dean Smith disciple. You know, he used to work Dean Smith's camps all the time. So he already had that familiarity with those bigger schools. And he had a big time relationship with NC State under Jim Valvano. It was Coach Odin at Cali at Wake Forest and stuff. So he used to work those camps all summer when he wasn't, you know, involving us and had us always around those big-time coaches at the time. So it wasn't a big deal to see those guys around in our practices and et cetera. And then I had the fortune to actually be coached by Coach Steve Smith at Oak Hill Academy, which really is what prepared me for the next level because you go from playing in front of 6,000 at your local high school to 20,000. Fans to come watch Oak Hill play in the time we were number one in the country and eventual national champions for all that stuff. But it definitely prepared me for the weight room and the rigors of playing a 35-game schedule, which is what we played in high school, and playing against everybody, always a road game and stuff. So I was mentally ready to go up to the University of Virginia as much as you can possibly be ready as a young kid turning 16 years old, turning 17. And today, you know, talking to those new kids today to continue on, it's such a different time. Because my father was just more about positive and making sure I was on the right track as far as the stuff I was doing in my character. And now I was humble and I was showed up and I did what I said I was going to do. And I was able to do the stuff in the classroom. And those are the kind of things I was trying to stress to them. But it seems like now with Instagram and social media, Twitter and all those things, you can pretty much have a daily progression of what you're doing, good or bad, and what you have going on about yourself. And I think that's one of the major problems with what's going on with our basketball because they're so busy trying to get everything going as opposed to working and becoming full-fledged people. You know, they're missing a couple of steps, and we have to do a better job as parents and coaches and guys like myself who are, you know, part of that coaching staff and part of those scouting services and stuff to let them know and understand know, those are just small, those are small things. And when it comes down to what you really need to base your life and your career on, you need to be a better person as long as whatever athletic future your endeavors you may have.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you touched on that point about what our young folks are looking for. You know, I think in today's society, in this world of instant gratification, you know, young kids think that they can take shortcuts to get to the next level. They can take shortcuts, you know, to make a team. You know, they can take shortcuts to get fast, bigger, faster, and stronger. You know, instead of putting that work in the gym, they think that there's some shortcut somewhere along the line that's going to help them get there overnight, and they're going to become an overnight success. You know, I think one of the things that has hindered, like you said a second ago, I think one of the things that really has hindered a lot of what's going on out there in the sporting industry, especially when we're talking about basketball and football, is the use and social, the use of social media and all the other little things, little shortcuts that folks are trying to incorporate into the sport. You know, and on that note, you know, does coaches really value that? You know, do they really value these kids taking the shortcut? I know you talked about being out there at, what was that, the Nike Top 100?
Yes, Nike Elite Top 100. A lot of talent, a lot of size, a couple of local kids, obviously in the DMV area up where I'm at currently, and a few kids actually down there in that Hampton Roads area that were invited, and everybody kind of performed. It's such a different time for sports and athletics, and as you know, in your dealings with it, and it just makes for a difficult information to get the right information. We had 800 transfers from colleges last year alone. That means 800 kids transferred from the college of their choice to go somewhere else just in 1 year.
Wow.
And that says so many things about what kind of person and people are recruiting your kids and what kind of parents and kids you have that go to the wrong school or go to a school with a disillusion of who they can be and who they are, and a coach who's making a mistake on the kid. It's happening all over the country, and there still hasn't been any let-up. And it's looking like it's going to be something that we have to deal with on a consistent basis because of we're not getting that raw information about kids, and they are looking for shortcuts to be LeBron James, to be Floyd Mayweather. They see the videos and the YouTubes about the money and all the fame and all that stuff, and they don't remember or to talk about the work that they put in. And it's a lot of work, and nobody really understands that unless you've been successful in that regard. Every pro athlete or every person that's been successful has a story of work. 99%. We're not talking about winning the lottery. We're not talking about being coming from a rich family. We're talking about at some level there's someone that put in the work to get you where you are, and that has to be your goal. If you want to be somebody, is to not want to take shortcuts, but to put yourself in a situation where your success is based on your skill level and your effort. And that's hard to come by in a lot of situations. And I know you know that, and I'm hoping that a lot of people that are listening and everybody that's around should take that as a tool, because that's the most important part, and that should be your base and your fundamentals of your building blocks of your kids. They should be humble, ready to work, ready to get positive information, ready to deter all negative goals and stuff like that, which means making choices. You know, that girl, them drugs, that drinking, all those things, to give them the best success chance for being successful. And that's what we need to be teaching. I know I'm trying to teach my 8-year-old son that. I know I'm trying to teach some of these kids that I'm running across Michigan Heat 100, where you're able to test them for a minute and give them something they can take back to their general areas. And it's a different world, like I said earlier. And I know it's more difficult, but at the end of the day, it will put you in the best situation.
Exactly. You know, and you just touched on a whole mouthful of things. And I think about it because just yesterday I spoke to some parents at an event that I had the opportunity to attend, and just sharing with those parents. And those parents was middle school parents. You know, we had 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, rising 6th graders, 7th graders, 8th graders, you know, had their parents out there. And although it wasn't a huge crowd, you know, it wasn't standing room only, it wasn't a full stadium, it wasn't a full arena, it wasn't a full auditorium, it was just a nice little small classroom full of parents. But I think the message that I share with them, I think they understood that they have a responsibility in this program. Something that you just touched on a second ago when you talked about how you are starting to share this information with your 8-year-old. Man, if we can get this information out to our kids at that early stage, at that early age in their life, and they understand it and they embody that and they start taking that on as their character, I think the whole society, whole outlook, whole framework of the sporting industry would turn around. You know, I looked at something today on ESPN, Outside the Lines, where they were talking about student athletes and crime. And that itself touched me because I know a number of young men that have had bad situations in school and in college and all this other kind of stuff, and look like their careers are going to end based upon getting into bad situations. So if I had to, asking you just a simple question, you know, talking about a young man that's getting ready to go off to college, because we got a couple of listeners on, and I know their kids are getting ready to take off here within the next couple of weeks or so, getting ready to start some conditioning for football and getting in early to get a summer school class in for basketball programs. What would be some of the things that they would need to take with them as they start this new journey into college life?
Well, first things first, you're going to be overwhelmed just like every other college freshman. It is overwhelming. I think a lot of kids think that they're different than anyone else. In order for you to be successful, you have to embrace the effort, meaning to get yourselves up, to get to work, to get your classwork done, you know, to make sure that you're on top of things. So once you get a feel for what's going on your particular campus, you'll be able to go out and do what you want to do, which would mean perform on the football field, perform on the basketball court, perform on the baseball diamond, whatever your sport is, the track. That's what you want to do. You don't want anybody making decisions for you. You want to be the one making all decisions. And the only way you can do that is that if you perform in all phases of your, you know, your freshman year, getting ready to go to school. And what I mean by that is that if you're doing what you're supposed to do in the classroom, then they don't have to worry about you not playing. If you go out there and you play hard and you practice hard, you're going to get an opportunity to play, so they can't take you off the field. They can't take you off the basketball court. You're just going to play. And that's where you need to be. And it's one goal at a time. I'm getting myself ready for training camp. That means I'm going in pretty good shape, and I'm going to get myself ready, and I'm going to embrace instruction from the coaches that I didn't know, I thought I knew doing recruiting, but now are going to be my particular people, family, for the next 4 years, if not longer, maybe 5 in some situations. So those are the kind of things that I like to hone into their heads, is that you think you might be the next, if we're talking football, you might be the next Dez Bryant. You might be the next big-time defensive tackle, and you might be all of those guys. But they all start at the first training camp. And it starts with your work ethic and what you're willing to, how much information can you absorb that's going to give you that edge over everybody else, in addition to being ready for your schoolwork that's going to come. And it's going to be more schoolwork than you've ever had, And they all need to understand that. And they all need to get ready, because when you don't know something and you're not willing to ask, then you'll never know it. And that's
exactly
key. So that would be my little gift to everybody, or my little piece of information, because I'm dealing with that same thing that you're talking about consistently, because I'm on that basketball side of it in the AAU program that I deal with up in the D.C. area. Those are the things that we have to worry about a lot of times, because the kids aren't ready. They think they're ready because they think they can play. But you're in a fishbowl, and then you're going into a bigger fishbowl when you go off to college. And they just don't understand the curriculum at that particular school. They just think it's a great school for their sport. You don't really have a trade that they're trying to get to. And I know those things come as you get an opportunity to be at that school. But at the end of the day, you need to have some type of mindset. And parents need to have some type of realistic expectation, because that really hinders a lot of kids' success because the parents think they're going to be already 2 years and done. You'll be surprised how many parents think their kids are pros as opposed to the kid. And that's one of my other issues that I guess we could talk about at another time. Man, these parents are out of control, and I saw a bunch of them this weekend, and we had a conference with those guys because you have to manage your expectations. Because so what if your kid is 6'9", he can jump from the free throw line, if he can't remember a play, can't remember the stuff he needs to do, he still can't shoot. You know, these kind of things you have to tell them realistically, and then they don't want to listen to it because they, wherever they're from, he's the best kid around because he's top 100. And there are thousands of kids playing, and my kid is one of the best 100 kids in the country. And they just don't get it a lot of times because they can't get past their own, you know, life. And I understand that totally when I see my son playing, and I know you see that with your son. It's just hard, but your son is at the highest level already, and he's trying to be the best player he could possibly be. And I don't think a lot of kids see the work that he put in to get where he was. And I would use him as a major example in talking to him and considering I know him personally and watch what he put in to get the work and the fact that he wasn't a jump shooter and he wasn't able to put the ball in the hole. And as he got to be a more developed basketball player and how outstanding a player he is from then to now, that came from him taking a personal command of his own self and going out there and putting in the work, and that's how he made it. And I think every kid needs to hear that from everybody else, even though he was already pretty good. He put in the work. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to this kind of stuff. Who's willing to put in the work? And some people aren't. And the parents aren't either.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and I run across kids every day that, you know, and I work in the school in Norfolk, and I run across kids every day that think that the game is going to get them to that next level. You know, I've seen some to the point where they'll get up and walk out of the classroom, but they think that they need to be on the court the next day when it's time to throw the ball up. You know, how do you understand that? How do you get that mindset? You know, I guess my hardest struggle right now is figuring out a way to try to reach parents to get them to understand that our young kids need to focus on the basic stuff, being do what they have to do in the classroom, then turn around and put that work in on the court or on the field, and then think about what's going to happen from that point forward. You know, how do you get that message across to some parents? And I know you have a young man that you're working with yourself, and like you said, you seen it firsthand out there at the AAU event, at the Nike event. How do you start that conversation? How do you lead into getting that information out to parents?
Well, you first try to be respectful, obviously, because we know that something about their son, and they think you don't know what you're talking about, because the first thing you do, you rub them raw because you tell them their son has a long way to go. And I try to underestimate every kid, because the statistics tell you to underestimate every kid. Out of those top 100 kids that I had with me this weekend, and the fortunate to be there this weekend, we're talking about maybe 10 at the most will be drafted in the NBA. Maybe 25 to 26 of them at the most will have an opportunity to play overseas or have an opportunity to make money with a basketball in their hand. Now, out of those 100, you're talking about probably 96% of them will get an opportunity to play at a mid-major or high-major university. But academics could keep some of them from out of that, but that's just part of it. But the statistics, because you've been chosen as a rising junior, most of these kids are going to get an opportunity. So parents understand that even though my son – is halfway through the period, halfway through the sentence, there's a lot of sentence left. He's done enough to get to the top 100. You have to keep him humble, and you have to keep him on focus. And there are so many speed bumps and ditches that you can fall in: peer pressure, academic issues, coaching issues, moving him from team to team, trying to get him in the best situation. You know, all of those things come into play. It all comes from if he has a stable support system, meaning his parents, at whatever level. I've ran across single dads, single moms, two moms, two dads. If all that kind of stuff is going on now, and all of it, if it's stable can help your kid have be the best person he can possibly be. And we don't judge on this end. We just want a finished product once it's all said and done. And what I mean by that is a young man that's willing to be ambitious and goal-oriented, God-fearing if possible, and ready to become somebody else and ready to learn. And that's what every scout coach wants to see and hear from the kids that he's recruiting and the kids that are at his university. He's a humble, good kid. He's not the great kid. He's not perfect. But, man, this kid right here is on the right level. And his parents have a good goal, and they're ready to go. And they understand that he might not be the next LeBron James, but it's okay that he's not him. He's going to be the best person he could possibly be. And that's what you want for those kids and those parents.
Exactly. And very well stated and truly appreciated. You know, folks, we've been talking with Junior Barrows here, former standout at the University of Virginia. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. And once you get to that, you'll hit option one. That'll let me know that you want to join our conversation, and I'll technician here on the switchboard will make sure that they take the time to get you in and make sure that you join in, are able to join in on the conversation. It's been a great conversation thus far, and Junior's been sharing some great nuggets with us and great some insight and wisdom. You know, I want to shift the focus a little bit. I know he said that he's out doing some you know, after he's finished his professional career, now he's doing some broadcasting and analyzing and some sports reporting and all that. What drove you to that career there, sir? Now, I know your passion for the game and to be around the sport, but what steered you to continue on staying with it? Because I'm quite sure you probably could have stayed at home, sat back and relaxed and rest yourself and just helped raise a family. But what took you into doing the media side of things?
Well, I mean, two things. You're just talking about, like, just staying as involved as you possibly can, competitive, so you're able to keep your competitive edges and your urges going, and you're just around the game. Man, I've always loved basketball. Since the first time I picked up a ball and I started on this career goal and these career paths, I chose basketball as a sport that I would really, really follow and try to be good at. Once I got into the ins and outs of it, and I have no problems talking about it, and I love where it's gone and how it's helped my life and got me to where I wanted to make. And I paid playing for money, being able to be financially stable in a lot of situations and help other people with that money and all the things that you want to do with your life and your goals, I was able to do that. I've seen the whole world. I've touched every continent except for Antarctica with a basketball in my hand. And that's a blessing. And, man, I don't regret any second of it. It was awesome. It was an awesome 17 years. I tried to push it for another 3 or 4, but my wife was she put a kibosh on that part because I had it in me to play it until I was 41, which I am now. I just love being around it, and I think that's what kind of got me into seeing if I could make it in this field, because I just have a different look on a lot of things I see because of my NBA side of it and my major college side of it, also working with some of the smaller mid-major schools and workouts in the center, and then my overseas connection and the years I really learned how to play basketball and understand the positional side of basketball that a lot of them countries over there teach. And that's why they have so many 7-foot kids that can dribble and shoot and pass, because they don't stick them in one particular position. And I think that's the best part about it, is that it's always changing and I'm always learning, and basketball has never been the same for me. I can go play today and make every shot, and tomorrow I can go out there and miss every one of them. And that's what you really want. You're looking for that perfect game and that perfect situation, even though you know it's not possible.
Well, you know, that again, that's another one of those mouthfuls that we need to all savor on and make sure that we fully understand it. You know, it's always interesting, and I talk to parents about this, and I tell kids this sometimes when I'm standing out in front of them. You know, I say, okay, if you have that passion for the game, if you have that passion for and you understand sports and you really always want to be connected to sports, hey, there's nothing wrong with if you don't make, you know, the varsity team, or if you don't make, you know, get your college scholarship, or even if you get your college scholarship, you play at a, you know, Division I, II, III, NAIA level or whatever, and you want to stay connected to sports after that, why not think about being on the other side of the microphone? Why not think about being on either side of the camera? Why not think about going out there and doing some journals or whatever, getting into some sports writing? I try to stress that point with folks all the time because I realize that the sporting industry is a big-time industry, and it's constantly going on and on and on. And our kids love it that much where they want to stay connected to it. Well, I think we got a guest that wants
to. I appreciate that.
I think we got a guest that wants to chime in on the conversation. Let me see if I can get her in on the conversation here. Hold on a second, sir. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Jackie, is this you? Good evening. Area code 768. Hello, caller. Well, I guess that caller didn't want to chime in on the conversation, but as always, we're going to continue on. We truly appreciate that information. Definitely. Looking forward to following what you got going on in the future. Tell us about some of the things that you've been doing in the community, because I know you've done some training. I know you've done some coaching. You know, you're out traveling about, running into young folks all the time. Tell us about some of the things that you got going on, sir.
Scotty, most of it now, I'm transitioning down into the Hampton Roads area. As you know, my wife is a dermatologist, and I treat her in dermatology down there in the Hampton area, and we're trying to make our way down there from coming up here and being a part of this community, and I'm trying to get involved in those same things down there with AAU and stuff. It's just a tougher transition for me because I've gotten so involved up here in that Bethesda, D.C. area with a couple of different AAU programs with the workouts in Maryland University and Georgetown. So I'm just trying to get all of that stuff down in there and run into the right people and get myself affiliated with the right situation down there in that area to kind of just continue on just staying in the positive and just trying to give back to the kids that that have. And, of course, Old Dominion being my coach from college, getting over there and being involved in his practices and stuff like that. And those are the things I'm looking forward to do in addition to continue my career in the sports broadcasting side of things. So I know it's a small little snippet, but it's my goal. I feel like if you try to do too much and you try to put yourself into too many hats, you're never going to be able to be good at the things you can really do. And I found I've stretched myself out a little bit too far in a lot of aspects. And, you know, now, you know, my son is of the age, in my opinion, my son is at the age where he can go either way in a lot of different situations. And I want to make sure that everything is on the positive and I want to be around for him because I miss so much of it playing basketball. It's such a sacrifice for the whole family when you're out, you know, fulfilling your dreams, whatever they may be. And you need to appreciate that when you have an opportunity to give back and give back to everybody that's involved, including your own family.
Definitely. You know, and that's the most powerful part of the message out of everything that we covered this evening. You got to be able to be there, folks. Parents, if nothing else, I hope that you heard that part of the message. Hopefully, if you just tuned in, a few seconds ago, you caught a big part of what I was really looking to hear. You know, it's us being there, folks. It's us being there. It's not that, okay, hey, and I seen this yesterday at the event I attended, and it kind of like, man, it really messed me up. And I mentioned it to the parents that was there. You know, as I was standing there and I was watching the young men come in, a couple of young ladies came in, and I'm talking about children. But then I watched some where the car slows down in the parking lot. Some little kid jumps out. He grabs his shoes. He got slides on his feet. He runs inside the door. I'm thinking that the car's going to go on around, park, and You know, somebody else is going to come in a few seconds right behind that young man, but it didn't happen. And that happened several times at the event that I was at, and I was really concerned because we are talking about middle school kids. We are still talking about young, impressionable middle school kids. And for a parent just to do a drive-by, drop-off, and keep on rolling, come on, parents, we got to do better than that. And if you didn't hear what Junior just said, he just said it nice, plain, sweet, and clear. That is, it, we have to be involved. It's not an optional thing. It's not a thing that we can do on a 50-50 basis. It's something that we must do on a mandatory basis, continuously, and put in the effort to do it. You know, he just stated that his son is at that age. He believes his son is at that age. Okay, well, he needs that guidance. He needs that time. He needs that to be able to turn and look and see dad in the stands. Okay. And that's a man that's after making sure that his young man is getting the best out of every situation. Parents, that's something that we have to be able to live by. This is not an optional thing for us. Again, I say it all the time, our kids are not asked to be here. They're here. And now we have to be their biggest advocate. You know, our motto here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network is help us help you. And any way that we can help you navigate, negotiate, get through these obstacles of the recruiting process, understanding the sporting industry, we're here for you. Folks, if you want to join in on the conversation, I see a number of you out there listening to the conversation, and I appreciate that. Hey, hit option one. On your telephone keypad, and that'll let me know that you want to join in on the conversation. I've got a few numbers out there that I don't recognize, an area code 6788 and an area code 540. I think I know who 540 is. But hit option one and let me know you want to join the conversation. Give us a call this evening at 917-889-8095. Hey, Jim, just what I wanted to ask you. In the event that you attended this weekend, or that you were at this past week, did they have a parents component at that program where parents were around getting some? Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. They had it. They had a. We had a meeting where we had the whole entire coaching staff, and we had some Nike. Grassroots and some of the scouts was sitting up there, and we had a couple of people that were talking about eligibility for college and some of the parents, and they were talking about, you know, I need to make sure my son, how do I make sure my son is on the right path by just not going to his guidance counselor? Who else can I talk to? Because sometimes in the school system that fails you and it can fail your kid, and you need to make sure that he's eligible to be recruited when he gets an opportunity to go to some of these schools. Those are some of the better questions, and it came from a lot of different things. And, of course, the social side of it, where a kid is putting too much on his Instagram or having an Instagram, he's doing things and quoting and tweeting things that he shouldn't be, or retweeting things that he shouldn't be, you know, and how you need to follow your kids on Instagram and make sure that they know that they're being followed by you and you are checking it. That should be a non-option if your kid or somebody's going to have one of those Instagrams or Twitter accounts, that he's going to be followed by his parents. And they're going to check it. And when he gets out of control, they're going to actually take it and then do those kind of things. So those are the kind of questions. But just to let you know, those are every parent, and the difference between the high and the low on a scale of 1 to 10, there are some parents that are dealing with some of the, in my opinion, some of the dumber side of the questions, because it just lets them know how ignorant we can be as parents about some of the stuff, tattoos, earrings. Shouldn't let my son wear? Why does his coach play him at this position as opposed to that position? You know, those are the kind of questions, in my opinion, that lets me know how much learning needs to go on from the parent side of things, because most of them aren't aware of what they have and the tool that basketball, in this case, can be for you to get your kid a free education. And I was able to stand up and say some things that I think parents don't really understand. When you're able to leave college, and the balance at the bottom of the check, which is a scholarship, is able to say 0-0-0. That is a gift that continues to give a college degree, whatever school it is. There isn't any situation that's not going to help you if you're able to graduate from a college and it's free, and the bills and tuition, that the kids and a lot of people are paying back in debt and all this other stuff, and here's a chance for you to go there free. And we're talking about him having tattoos and his brand and et cetera. We have so much work to do to humble some of these people and kids and stuff, as opposed to making sure that your son is on the right path, because the parents aren't on the right path. I always say the 5 minutes after practice and the 5 minutes before practice can change your direction of your kid. You're telling him what he wants to hear as opposed to what he needs to hear can always hurt, and that's what we're dealing with now.
All right. Hey, I think we got a caller coming in here trying to join in on the conversation. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Area code 540.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay, this is wonderful. I'm sorry I'm just getting into this a little bit late, but what I'm hearing so far is awesome, and you're definitely speaking to the needs of some of the families, particularly that we have here. I'm calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia, and we were blessed to have Mr. Scott come up to our team summit about a month ago, I would imagine, and to be able to participate on our Ball Out workshop. But what we have here is a lot of our parents not knowing the steps that are necessary to even get their children eligible. We have seniors, you know, who are graduating who aren't registered. So being able to make sure that they're aware of those type steps, understanding the differences in the divisions of the school, because, of course, everybody says they want to attend a D1 institution, but they're not really aware of, you know, all that that entails and the responsibilities and the requirements that go along with it. How were you able to, I guess, become aware of that type of information? Did your coach make your family aware of it, or was it something that you had to strike out and find out on your own?
Well, yes, I had the coach's part, and I'm glad you called in, and that's a great question, by the way. It was always the coaches for me, because I had a bunch of experienced coaches. Like I said earlier in my conversation, I had Charles McCullough, which is my first high school coach. He's one of the legends in that area in North Carolina, where I'm from. And then I was able, fortunate enough to go to Oak Hill Academy and be up there for a year and a half as my senior in the end of my junior year with him. He just had so much information for me. And one of the things he was able to tell me was that when somebody's recruiting you, so Virginia recruited me, and they know a lot about me. They know my parents. They knew my brother. They had come to a bunch of games. They knew my skill set. They understood my skill set. So my coach always asked the same question: do you understand what it's going to take to go to Virginia? You know, you need to make a 700 on the SAT at the time. You know, you need to have a 3.0. You know, you need to have a 21 on this ACT. And you need to have 21 credits of high school stuff in order to even sniff the University of Virginia's campus. You need to have these minimum requirements, and do you have them? And that's how my recruiting process was able to continue with that school, or any other school for that matter, because it was individually broken down for me. And I think that's another thing about coaches, that, like I said, everybody needs help. You know, if you have a good coach and he has a good team, he could be so focused in on some of the things or just about winning games that he doesn't understand the most important part about winning the game, which means the kid wins as well.
Right.
Can he get into Virginia Tech? Can he get into Virginia? Can he get into those bigger schools, Hampton, Howard? You know, I know a lot of kids that think that you can just walk into a black college because it's not one of those major colleges. Howard and Hampton are some of the big, hardest schools to get into in the country. And that shocks me that you don't think that, because you think, because you're not on TV, that somebody's just going to take you because you're some good athlete. And that's the kind of stuff that doesn't go on in conversations, even with kids. But I've been able to get more involved in our program up here and in other programs as well. I just don't want to, you know, I talk to kids all the time about it. But now with this Nike stuff, I'm able to get a bigger venue on it because they allow you to have those kind of talks with those kids.
Okay.
But it can be the guidance counselor as well. I'm sorry to cut you off. It can be the guidance counselor as well. I mean, everybody knows the kid. Every high school knows that kid that's at the school. And they need to ask him those questions or her those questions. Hey, listen, are you ready? Like, really ready? And they're going to say, what do you mean? Do you have the requirements to get into the school that you want to get into? I mean, it doesn't take but a second to realize you don't have a 17 and you need 21, or you don't have a 13 and you need 17. I mean, it's not that hard. You got to get this stuff together.
Right. And those are the kind of the conversations that are honestly not happening. It seems a lot that some of our guidance counselors here are largely overwhelmed with a lot of the social issues. So they don't do a lot of the individual academic counseling or, you know, future planning counseling. Some of it goes on, but it's often going to be the kids who have the mind to go and seek that out on their own, or their parents are doing it, you know, for them. So we have kids who don't have, you know, the people working with them from the guidance aspect, and then also their parents are very hands-off. And when we get them, you know, to the workshop, oftentimes they're like, wow, you know, I didn't know. Like, some of the kids came up after our workshop and, you know, we're talking about they had no idea that there was kind of like a second chance for them if they goofed off their freshman and sophomore years, you know, that they could go to like the JUCO institution and work in some of the remediation programs for their math and English and things like that, and still, you know, get training through playing in the sports. So when they find that out, you know, they're kind of excited, but it's unfortunate, you know, this information isn't being shared with them beforehand. So I don't know.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. You know, it's sad to hear that part, and I think that's one of the main reasons why. Well, I know that's one of the main reasons why I created the Parents Coaching Parents Network, because there is an individual in every school system in the state of Virginia. Well, every school system that's a member of the NCAA. Member of the institution, every school system has a representative that should be a compliance coordinator. And if you go on the eligibility site's website and you look up core classes and it looks up by particular schools, there is a name and a phone number for every school in the state, in the country that you know, falls under the NCAA's oversight, and there's an individual that can be held or should be held accountable for just providing just that simple type of information. And, okay. You know, as always, I offer my assistance at any given time to come up and assist wherever need be. And I think I ran into a couple other folks that was up there doing your workshop that that seemed to be pretty knowledgeable as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Junior, you talked
yes.
about doing some training. And what type of training do you do? When do you offer it? I know you haven't dug yourself in down here in this area yet, but I know you're working your way down here. Hopefully you'll be down here soon, but just tell us about some of the stuff that you offer to a young man, because I know whatever's in your package has to be a full and complete package.
It's really the personal training, obviously, the body, the mind, and trying to get kids ready for that next level, because I try to stay in my wheelhouse as far as post guys and getting guys ready to play the next level at basketball. Right now, I'm, like I said, in that transition, so I only do this kind of stuff up in the D.C. area. But I'm working my way down there with that, and you know, it's a competitive field in that area, so you really want to get as many kids as you possibly can just to understand, mostly big guys, because I'm in the footwork and fundamentals and trying to get everybody together. My son is the first practice test project for me in the area right now, and along with the kids I have up here and the stuff I was doing for Nike. I'm just trying to get every, you know, make sure that he has all the bases. And you're talking about the academic side, you're talking about the other stuff for parents. I'm trying to do that on the basketball court, and I really think about that. And right now, I'm going to, you know, just be offering different things for kids when I get involved into them down in that area as far as videos of their games and trying to talk to them through the mistakes they're making on the floor through the videos of the games that they're playing with the AAU team or their
high school team. So that's just something a little different than I think a lot of people offer. So that's going to be that. That's going to be kind of my mindset once I get into the area and start doing it. So that's where I'm at.
Well, you know, one thing that you just threw in there that I know for a fact, I haven't heard anybody address it, when you said the body, soul, and the mind, you know, not too many people talk about that and mental toughness. Not too many people talk about having the right mindset going into each and every game. Not too many folks talk about how to negotiate them stumbling blocks. If you have a couple turnovers at the beginning of the game, you know, how to recover from that and realize that you're not going to go back and relive that same play again, always looking forward to the next play. So, you know, if you're bringing any of that to the table, then that's definitely going to be a huge plus for a lot of young folks out there, because that's one part that I know that's often missed, just talking about that mental toughness, talking about that game readiness, talking about how you put yourself in the mindset of preparing for a game, you know, getting your rest, making sure you're not eating a whole lot of candies, you know, all this whole kind of stuff,
right,
you know, before you get yourself out there on the court. Well, we've been talking with Mr. Junior Brown for about the last hour or so, folks, and we've had some great conversation, great dialogue, and Junior has shared some things with us, and I know, just hearing some bits and pieces that he touched on, I know that he has a whole lot more to share, because there were several things that he mentioned about just dealing, college athletes dealing with other folks that's trying to get into their circle. I know he wanted to touch on that at some point in time. And I'm really interested in hearing what he has to share on that aspect. Well, not only just college athletes, because nowadays that same element has filtered down to our high school kids. And we have our high school kids being scared in different directions based upon listening to all these other folks other than their coaches, their parents, and, you know, folks that's really and truly out there looking out for their best interests. Well, sir, tell us how we can reach you, how we can keep track of what you're doing, so when you get to our area, we can definitely reach out to you and, you know, may have a few young men that we can point in your direction for some of the immediate guidance, counseling, training, all that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's listed. My email is junior@e-trainu, and that's TRAINU.com. And, you know, you can tweet me at Junior Burrow. It's, those kind of things are official, and that's kind of our website, e-trainu website for training. But right now, it's just really been more about getting back, giving back, being involved in it, communicating on situations and talking in formats like this. This is the most important. I think, you know, in your situation, I appreciate you bringing me on. I feel honored that I'm able to come on and talk to you about this kind of stuff, because I know I'm not the only one that feels the way you feel about stuff. And, you know, it's just, I'm just proud to be a part of it, or anything I can give back in this situation as far as something I've done, mistakes I've made, because we're not perfect and we're not trying to be. We just want to make sure that our kids and our youth are set up so they can have an opportunity to be better than us. And that's really what I want for my family and other people's family.
Exactly. And I echo that same comments, man. I think we read that off the same page, because, you know, I realize that I've made several mistakes in my lifetime. But if I could help my two avoid any of those mistakes, hey, I think I'm on the right path. I think
absolutely,
I'm on the right path. And on that note, sir, hey, we definitely thank you for joining us this evening. You know, it was a very short and sweet. I caught you sometime during the week, asked you was going to come on. You agreed to come on. We didn't really put anything together, but we got to a nice little conversation, and I think you was able to share some nuggets and some tidbits with us that is going to stick with our listeners from this point forward. We love to have you.
Well,
on
I appreciate
again,
you having me.
You know, in the near
let
future,
me know.
I
anytime,
know,
sir. Anytime.
Okay, I know you got a big summer ahead of you, because if you're out there covering the circuit and seeing what's going on, I know that Comcast and Nike and everybody else got their hands out waiting for you to come on out and do what you do. We're going to be looking forward to seeing you out there on the road, and definitely, we'd love to have you on again, and we're going to sit down to plan that one out real nice and sweet. so that we got a good conversation going on this time.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. We appreciate
you.
You have a good
night.
All right.
Okay.
Well, folks, well, as you say, you've been listening to Junior Burroughs, a former standout at the University of Virginia. I'm telling you, that young man, hey, I'm impressed by him. I'm impressed by him. I can't say enough. And I'm going to let you know, and y'all know me, folks that's listening to this show have known me probably for a number of years, know that I'm not impressed by any and everybody. I'm going to call it as I see it. And I'm definitely impressed by him from the time I met him all the way up until today. I just admire his character. You know, I understand the young man has a mission. He's on a mission. He's pushing forward, moving forward, trying to do bigger and better things in the community. Like you said, he's still out there doing what he got to do. And I realize, hey, if he played 17 years professional, there isn't much he really and truly has to do. But I think he wants to do it because he has that passion, has that drive. Understand that there's another young man out there named Junior Burroughs, another young man out there named Mike Scott, another young man out there named LeBron James, whoever, that needs that assistance, wants somebody to come along and provide him with some guidance. I see him every day in the school system, folks, and I can't say enough about it. Each and every time I get a chance to put my hands around one of them and just whisper a couple kind words of wisdom into their ear, I think I did. You know, I gave him a bag of gold. I gave him a bag of gold. Now, what they choose to do with it, I'm not even going to dismiss that. I'm going to still try to encourage them to do the right thing with that bag of gold after I give it to them. Not to say, hey, I gave it to you, now let's see what you're going to do with it. No, that's the hands-off approach. I'm a hands-on type person. I want to give you the bag of gold and then work with you towards making sure that you reach your level of success. And listening to what Junior had to share with us today, folks, I think he's right along that same line. Well, folks, you've been listening to me here on the Parents Coach to Parents Network. Blog Talk Radio Show, as always, man, it's been another fun and wonderful show. I appreciate our caller that called in from the Fredericksburg area. I see I had a couple other callers that called in from out of the area. You know, as many times as we can get this show out here and get this information out to like-minded parents is always, always, always a blessing. Folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.H. Scott, your host of the Parents Coach to Parents Network. And on that note, we're out of here.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.